If you'd like to, you can open your Bibles to Psalm 91. I think if you listen to Brad's prayer, I think you're going to find that it was actually a confirmation of what you're about to hear. As he spoke of victory, and as he spoke of the care that God gives to us, today's title is Victory of Hopefulness from Psalm 91. You sang a song today that spoke of a shield and the shield being around you. And last week we spoke out of Psalm chapter 3, and verse 3 says this: "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head." You know, in our lives, God more than anything wants us to live in who He is, no matter what happens in our life. It doesn't matter what we go through or what we think we are going through. God wants us to live victoriously. I spoke a few weeks ago about the things maybe will help us to do that is sometimes just speak out what you know God is wanting you to do in your life, the way that He's designed you to live. Say those things out loud. Take a stand by hearing those words come out of your mouth and even saying them to other people. And in doing so, it gives you the courage and the strength to follow through with the act of obedience. In Brad's prayer as well, he spoke about obedience. And you're going to find today that victory only comes through obedience. That's it. That's the only way you and I can have victory in our Christian life is if we live an obedient life. I mean, think about it. How can God bless a child of His who chooses not to be obedient and live for Him? He can't. It's impossible. Well, Psalm chapter 91 is going to give us some of these answers as we look at victory of hopefulness. Last week, we looked at the aspect of hopelessness and the prayer that David prayed. Well, this week, we're looking at the flip side of that. It says in verse 1, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." The He is you. The He is me. And what it is saying is if I dwell in the shelter, the covering of the Most High, if I place myself under God's care and protection, if I live my life the way it's designed in Him and that covering comes over me and that covering and who He is actually is lived out through me, then the promise is given here: I will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You're going to find that there are also problems in here and troubles you're going to encounter. But as you go through them, your design is to live in the shelter of the Almighty. Verse 2 says this: "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." You know, these are two different things here, and I want to explain them. And once again, when you come on Sunday, a couple of things. The design is to learn some doctrine about the Word of God and who God is. And that's a big word, I know. Doctrine basically just means this: it is the absolutes of who God is. The things that never change, the promises that He will always keep, the things that He will do, the things that He will not do. Those are doctrines. And in the process of learning doctrines, you're able to apply that truth to your life and then turn it into application. Turn it into a lifestyle. And so today, even if you just get one or two things that you can apply to your life, you've gotten what God has for you. Maybe it's this: the difference between a refuge and a fortress. You see, when I am in trouble or when you are in trouble, what God says is He says, "Run to me," right? Usually when we're in trouble, we're out there somewhere, right? We've chosen some path or we've got pulled a certain direction. We're doing stupid stuff. And God's always there, and he said, come on, run! This aspect of refuge actually was seen in the six cities of Israel, where when you accidentally or even purposefully murdered someone, you could run to a city of refuge, and there you would get a fair trial. There, they would give you refuge. Here's the difference, though, about fortress. You see, refuge is what is given to you emotionally from who God is. A fortress is where you receive that refuge. Do you get it? You see, the fortress is what is able to give you refuge. Refuge, another good word, is this: rest. It says in verse number 2, I say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely, verse 3, he will save you from the fowler's snare. Now, just so you know, the fowler's snare is Satan. And from the deadly pestilence. Two things here: spiritual attack, physical attack. We know that this psalm was written by David because in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse number 1, David numbers the men of Israel. And in the process of doing so, he sins against God. He numbers the fighting men. He sins against God. And what did God do? God sent a pestilence by day, and it wiped out tens of thousands of people. He is recounting that here as he speaks about there is a spiritual battle, and then there are things that happen in life through judgment that are physical. They're literal. They take place. We experience them. We feel them. We see them. They're part of our family. They're part of our life. He goes on and he says this. He says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge, rest. In Scripture, there's several other places this analogy is used. And believe it or not, it's a chicken. Okay? It's a chicken. You know, I would rather have, like, you know, an 18-foot condor. Right? But God gives us a chicken. We've been redoing some chicken coop repairs. And part of it was we needed to extend it because we've gotten up to, I don't know, 30-some chickens. And we got rid of some roosters. We sent them to heaven because there were too many of them. You just have to do that because the hens, they get all pecked up and stuff, so you got to say bye. And there's really no ceremony or anything. It's just, it's a fun time at night, okay, while they sleep. So we had 9 baby chicks that were actually hatched on our property. And that's an amazing and a fun thing because you go out there, and matter of fact, we have 2 chickens sitting. We'll probably go out in 10 days and there'll be another 20 chickens. And some of those are going to be roosters. And we do night time again. But these chicks, we couldn't keep them in the cage because the cage was, number one, not big enough. Number two, there were some holes. So we began working on it. I went out one morning, I grabbed a cup of coffee, and it was early, about 6 a.m., and I just like to walk outside and just look at what God's doing. And as I did, I walked over by our planting beds where the chicks were up in the old outhouse. I bet many of you can't say that. We have an old outhouse. It is functioning, actually. I mean, you know, if you've never... If you just want to come over, you know, and say you did, mark it off your bucket list, come on. But that's where they would live at night. And we had this one silky, fancy rooster. And he was out with the chicks. Everybody else was inside the chicken coop. And we kept this silky, fancy rooster. I don't know if you've seen them before, but they're cute. It was all white. You know, and I call him Fancy. And Fancy took care of these chicks because they were on the outside and he was on the outside. Everybody else was on the inside. Well, I came out that morning and I found 8 of the chicks dead. They were torn apart. And we know what it is. It's a skunk. They come around. We have to trap them. We have to get rid of skunks occasionally, and skunks will come. And an amazing thing, skunks, when they kill a chicken, they only eat basically 2 parts, and that's the heart and the liver. So sometimes when you go outside and you have a large chicken that's dead, if you just kind of pry around up in this area, you'll find just a little hole. And that skunk literally just bored a hole, ate the heart, and left. That's all it took was the heart. And as I looked at those chickens, I went and got Mitzi, and I was like, oh, man, we're like, you know, several days too late on the coop. Probably could have had this last week. It would have been better. So as we stood there, I'm looking for Fancy. One little bare rock chick survived, and she was running around, you know, I mean, scared to death. And I found Fancy. Fancy had lost an eye. Fancy had lost all of his crown. Fancy's face was torn up. You know what Fancy did? Fancy attacked the skunk, because that's what roosters do. And they do everything they possibly can to save the hens, even if it costs them their own life. That's just what roosters do. We've seen that happen in our yard before, where a rooster died so the hens could run away. You know, God looks at us and he says, I just want you to know something. I died for you. I died for you. I sent my son to die for you. And if you are just obedient and you live under my covering, my wings, you will find rest. You will find peace. It is there. It's not always pretty. The stuff you see around the world isn't always pretty. I went out the next night when we were catching these chicks so we can put them in the cage that was completed. And there were 6 bigger ones that they had survived the onslaught because they were roosting higher in some fencing. And when I went out there that night, there was that little bare rock who lost all his brothers and sisters roosting with them. I mean, you got to think of what he just saw. That chick was like, no, I'm not sleeping on the ground no more. That doesn't go well. And God looks at us and he says, I want to cover you with my feathers, and under my wings you will find rest. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Does somebody have a different word in their Bible for rampart? Is it on here? Nope, it's not on here. Yeah, buckler, right? Okay, so we talked about the shield last week, how that you have a shield bearer, and as we looked at verse number 3, God actually provides a shield around you. A little bit different here. You see, you actually, in a fight, depending on the weight of your sword and how big your sword was, you could also have a shield. You have an individual that has a shield that's got your back. We talked about that last week, and that's a big shield. That warrior can do nothing but hold that shield in their hands. They don't have a weapon. You've got a weapon. If your weapon is large, you got one shield. If your weapon is smaller, you will have a buckler. And a buckler fits on your arm. It's strapped on your arm, and it's not as big. It may be about 18 inches round. And actually, you don't have to really worry about it. It's always there on your arm. Your sword's in this hand. So when somebody attacks you from the front, you throw up the buckler, and then you strike back. Here's what the Bible is saying here. The Bible is saying, and God wants you to know, that I not only have your back, but I've got your front. And here's the most important thing about the buckler. The buckler enables you to go on the offensive now. You can swing the sword. He guards you in your life, and he gives you the word, which is the sword of God. And you're designed to go out into the world and use it for the kingdom. Speak truth in love. Goes on and he says this. He says, you will not fear the terror of night. There's your spiritual. You will not fear the terror of night, nor arrow that flies by day. That's your literal. As a matter of fact, go to verse number six. Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. That is the spiritual. Nor the plague that destroys at midday. That's 2 Samuel 24:1. That chapter where that plague destroyed the Israelites. How many? Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your left hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. You see, punishment, and it's what took place in 2 Samuel because of sin. You know what God did? God killed people. Judgment. That's what happened. And what David is saying, if you stay close to God in your life, you don't have to worry about any of that. As a matter of fact, look at verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, dwelling means this, to abide in. If you abide in who God is in your life, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. In other words, no harm from God. That doesn't mean that trials won't come along and testing. Sickness, illness, loss of a job. Loss of a loved one. That's not what that's talking about, because those things happen in our life, as you'll see in a minute. No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Do you realize that song, Angels Watching Over Me, is real? Do you realize that God sends angels out to protect you in times of need? Do you realize that angels battle for you in another dimension? You see, God has such a plan for you to change the world. He has angels to guard you and fight against the demons. What an amazing thought. In the dimension that is around us right now, we don't see it. And if we could, I guarantee you this, we wouldn't live our lives the same from this day on. It'd be unbelievable. The battles that are taking place in this room. The warriors that are fighting darkness and light. Darkness trying to snatch the word before it takes root. Light pushing the darkness away so that it's distracted, so that you might receive light. It goes on and it says this. It says in verse number 10, that no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all his ways. 12, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You want to know what that stone is? That stone is sin. Sin. Just write sin right next to it. Here's what the angels are doing. They're fighting for you so that you might have a chance to live in obedience to God. So that you don't sin. So that you don't stumble and fall. 13, you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent, and that is Satan. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. For he acknowledges my name. Obedience. It's obedience. It's obedience. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Did that say that you will never have any trouble? Anybody here have trouble right now? Anybody? You know, some of you probably need to go, both hands. He didn't say that, did he? He says, I'll be there with you, though. I'm going to be there with you in times of trouble. They're going to come, and they're going to be varied, and they're going to be a myriad of them at times. It may be three or four things you're dealing with. It may actually be yourself, about how you think about who you are. Do you think you hold value? Well, you do in Christ, but you got to know it up here. And if you don't, you know what? You will have trouble in your spirit. There are a lot of ways to be in trouble. But God says, as if you live for me, I will cover you. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He You see, what God wants for all of us is to just be obedient and live this book right here. To love people. To give grace upon grace upon grace. To cut people some slack. Isn't that hard to do? Man, we could be so judgmental sometimes. And really, you know what we're doing when we're sinning. When we're being judgmental about someone else, we're sinning. But we get caught up in it, and it's so easy. It's kind of that broken side of who we are to where we actually think we're holier than what we are. And I'm just going to tell you right now, everybody in this room is like filthy rags. Everyone here is broken. Everyone here is a sinner. We don't have to look too far back to know that, right? I mean, probably driving here for some of us, right? It could have happened when we were hearing music. You could have even went, oh, I hate that song. Just take it easy. You know, it's just a song. Could have been yesterday at home. Could have been online. Could have been Facebook. You see, what God wants us to do is to be obedient and do whatever He asks of us. And when we do, you're going to have trouble in life, but He'll be there with you and your life will be long. You know what's great about your life being long? When you live more and more for God, you become stronger in the faith. You become a stronger believer. You're willing to say things you never were willing to say before. And you get to the point where you just say this, I don't care what they think. I'm a Jesus freak, okay? And they're going to know that I'm a Jesus freak. I'd rather be a Jesus freak than a devil freak. Because there's only two options. Because God said this, the middle I spew out of my mouth. Makes me sick. What? Yikes. You mean I got to choose a side? I didn't see that in the contract. I know the writing was really small and I didn't have my glasses that day. I just kind of signed. Oh no. The life of a disciple is very specific. And it requires something of us. But God is our shield and buckler. He will be with us in every moment of our life. He will call you to refuge and give you rest. He will cause you to succeed and win for the kingdom. The only things that will last in this life are the things that are done for God. I'm going to do something today. I'm going to grab, do we have a mic up here? Yeah, right here. And he is now running to the back. Hello. All right,
here it is. It's on now.
Yeah. Brad, will you be the runner?
Continue to pray for Brad. He just had surgery, so, you know, just difficult. Peyton, why don't you come up, buddy? Mr. Peyton. Hey, are you going to camp?
I think I am.
Well, I just want to let you know something, okay? There were three guys that worked yesterday for some people here in town, Puck and Hay.
Yeah.
And they donated all of their time and money to you to go to camp. Just so you know, okay? Awesome. That's good. You didn't even know it, did you?
No.
Yeah, you didn't know it. See what God does? Yeah, in advance. All three of them talked about it. And so they worked about 4 hours and in the heat of the day, and they said, Peyton's going to camp no matter what.
Amen.
So, man, God does amazing, amazing things. Yeah. I'm going to give this to you, okay? And then they're going to raise their hand, and then you'll take it to them.
Okay.
All right? All right, here's what I want to do. is I want, I, there's trouble here today, besides me. No, but people have troubles. What in your life is a trouble for you right now? What in your life is a trouble for you right now? And it could be anything. And how do you view that trouble from God's perspective? Anybody? What in your life is a trouble right now? Something that happened? Something that you're going through? And how do you view that trouble from God's perspective? How do you see it? Anybody? I know it's all right, back there, run it to him. There you go, Mr. Bill. And if you would, stand up. Thank you.
You know, many of you know my story and what I've been going through in the last 4 or 5 years. But that's still a struggle. My children, and it's because of what I taught them the first 60 years of my life and how they were raised. So they battle me, and Satan battles me on a constant battle. But with the support of this church and my friends and the people I fellowship with, the battle is being won. God is... God is amazing in lifting me up and keeping me going when I never thought I could do that. But I'll just let you all know, it does work. Mm. And the lives of my children are changing.
Yeah.
Not as fast as I want them, but they are changing.
They are. That's good. Someone else. Right there.
My battle is my sobriety and becoming a mother again to my little girl. I was out of her life for a year, and it was really hard. And it's hard for me and her obedience and just letting her know that I'm not going to leave her again. Mm. But with this family, this wonderful family, Springer's and Mutchler, they've helped me through everything. And in God's eyes, my battle is won, and they are my soldiers, too. So, thank you.
Yeah, wow. That's good. Someone else got a battle, but have a victory to share. Oh, right here.
This is kind of more of a praise. Last week, I had problems. I went to urgent care. They said I had a stroke. I went to ER. They said I had a blood clot. And the other doctor said I didn't have anything. But there was an angel came. He reached in my chest. He took out this green, looked like a green, slimy egg, showed it to me and left. And then Heather said she saw the warring angel standing over me. So that's a good thing.
That's good. Good. That's good. Someone else going through a struggle. Maybe it's your family going, okay, all the way over here, far side. There you go. That's a 50-yard dash to there.
Something I struggle with every day is my anxiety. I have anxiety disorder, and I struggle not only with, you know, being afraid of certain situations, but being afraid socially. And so, you know, sometimes it takes me a lot to come to church. It takes me a lot to step out and be okay, but I know with God I can do anything.
Yeah.
And I know with God he put certain people in my life, and I know here I'm among friends. And I am so thankful for such an amazing family that I have.
Very good. Are you part of God's girls? Good. If you're not part of God's Girls, there's only one requirement. You have to be a girl. But if you'd like to connect, yeah, Mitzi will be here up front at the end of the service if you would like to connect, because she'll keep you up to date with the next meeting. It's a powerful time, right?
Yes,
very powerful. So God's Girls, don't miss it, girls. Someone else. All right, down here. We've got Kimber up front. Right over here. There she is.
So I struggle with anxiety and depression as well. And I am actually leaving to move to Minot for the summer to work at a church. And with my sister, my family's in town. And I'm really struggling. The things my sisters tell me I need to do. And it's kicking my anxiety up because I'm like, I'm afraid God's going to call me to North Dakota and live there permanently. And I love my mountains and my beautiful Colorado and my safety. This is where I've grown up. This is where what I know. And the stuff I have to do there, it's kicking it up of, oh, my gosh, why did I apply for this internship? Oh, my gosh, what if I don't do good enough? What if I don't make friends? And it's all kicking up. But I have to remember that God is bigger than my anxiety. He's bigger than my depression. He's bigger than me and my problems. And I know that he is stretching me, saying, are you going to let this consume you? Or are you going to lean on me and trust me more and more? So then when I'll be able to have a better relationship and grow in God as well.
Very good. That's good.
My struggle is financially. I'm trying to catch up on stuff. And I made a mistake and had applied for some credit cards. And so I'm trying to catch up with that. And then I'm looking forward to trying to pay off a student loan as well. And since I was just thinking about it this morning about how am I going to get my son to this camp that he needs to attend, because he doesn't have much, he doesn't have a man in his life, you know, like his father is not present there. And so I really want God to be the ultimate man in his life, so he can look up to him. And I had no idea that was gonna happen. But I really appreciate that for my son. And, you know, I know God's taking care of him, and I know he doesn't want me to worry too much about him. I mean, he's the man of the house. And I want him to be, you know, like the men here who love their family and raise their kids. And I want him to see that, too. So thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Oh, right there, right there, right there.
Sorry, Carissa. So the punchline is, it's time to get in the fight, okay? It's time to sharpen your swords, because the battle's here, people. A few months ago, God started working in my life and started revealing things to me and saying, okay, grab a hold of this, get rid of this, grab a hold of this, get rid of this. And it manifested itself a couple weeks ago with the Holy Spirit, an encounter I had at work. I work for the sheriff's office, praying in an office with my supervisor where it just filled the entire room. And God will, he hears us, he hears our prayers. And he hears us calling for him if you just step into his will. But when you do that, you better doggone be sure that you strap on the armor every single morning. Katie and I were talking and praying about this yesterday. You have to sharpen your sword, because then the attacks come, and they have been coming full force against the Johnson family with my brother-in-law's brother. With another one that's sick, with dad that had a heart attack, with mom that's not well, with sisters, just family, because he knows how to attack us. And I count that as glory because I look at it from his standpoint. I say, the glory in the battle is already won, Lord. So just, I run to his fortress. I run to his refuge, and I sit there, and I sharpen my sword. Can I just wait? And there is no reprieve. And some of you have already heard the call. Some of you already know that the war is here. And the rest of you need to wake up and need to look around. You need to get in the fight because it's here. And we pick each other up because these little battles, these skirmishes, the battle's already been won.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will reveal himself to you in his perfect timing in the way that he needs to be revealed to you. For me, because I'm a doubter, I needed to have a witness. For Paris, it comes with an impossible putt. Don't understand. But for the rest of you, seek his will, find it, and then stay in it. But be ready. Sharpen your sword.
Amen. Right here, Peyton, right up front. This will be the last one.
Okay, so back in October, I told you guys about my former pastor being removed from my life, who was like my dad. And I heard from him, and he told me that through all of this, though it's not about me because it's about their marriage, that I am still important. And that was the first acknowledgement of my importance in this situation. And then less than a week, and he told me everything was going to be okay. And then less than a week later, I got another email saying goodbye forever. And I kind of knew that that was going to be how this played out because I don't fit into their life. And I don't belong in a life where there's that much hatred and anger and unrest just because of what I needed in my life. And people just keep asking me how I'm okay. And for the first time in 5 years, I haven't had him to lean on. It's had to be God. Mm-hmm. And even though that's really, really hard because I know that God put him in my life for those 5 years for something that's really important. For the first time, it's had to be God. And it's time for it to be God, and it needs to be God for the rest of my life. And that hurts because my human self wants a daddy, and I don't need to have that because God is daddy. Mm. And that's all I need, and that's really hard. But so through that hurt, for the first time, I'm having to lean on God because that's what I got.
That's good. Yeah. Oh, one more right there. Yeah.
God's just revealing this to me. A lot of people know that I struggle also with anxiety, and I have some family members right now, a son that's going through some severe depression, and every day, the battle has been just trying to keep him alive. And I just thank God every morning that I hear his voice. But the one thing that has helped me through some of my anxiety and the roller coaster rides of emotions is the boat. God has given me a boat to get on. And I bring my family. Psalms 91 has been the Psalms that has pulled me out a lot of my anxiety, knowing that he is my refuge. And then sometimes, especially last night, going through some spiritual warfare at 2:00 in the morning, believe it or not, but Paris's the sermon that you did about the battles that go on, I thought about that, and then all of a sudden I just climb on the boat with Jesus as he's calming the storms around me. And then I bring not only just myself, but I imagine all my family members. And I said, God, you are my refuge, and everybody that's under my tent that you're going to protect. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see. So I bring Mitzi and Diane, and all my family is on this boat, and he does calm the storms. So it's just what he wants to know, that he's providing a boat for us, and we're all to get on, and he's going to protect us. Thank you.
Oh, no, that's good. That's good. Oh, right there. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to keep you.
No, you're good.
My daughter asked me to share this. This is a battle our family has. About five, and I'm not going to keep from crying, I'm sorry. About 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we met a friend, thank you, who has changed our lives. Lex has gotten very close to her. She is her aunt for all intents and purposes. She is not a Christian. We've been through her battles of depression. We've been through, she's cut off finger. And that was a battle for her. We've had serious conversations about the Lord and salvation. And she said, if I knew you 20 years ago, maybe I could believe. She just was recently diagnosed with cancer. She's 53. It's not normal, typical breast cancer. It's less than 0.1% of all cases have this rare, aggressive, fast-growing. They gave her 3 months without treatment, 12 with. I got the news while I was working in Vernal, and I was on my way out of town, and she texted me. Mm. Went and got the news by herself. I drove home in silence, having it out with God. Why did you bring this person in our life just to lose her? The battle is not over. The mission's not done. We love her beyond a mission. Please understand that. We love her as a human. But there is more to this relationship than just that. And God told me, and this is what I stand on with her, I didn't ask you to do anything but introduce her to me. Mm. It's not about healing. It's about her salvation, and that's why you're in her life. Mm. It's frustrating to meet someone who becomes family. Literally, she's at our house Christmas, Easter, she loves it. You know she knows why. And it was very frustrating with God to say, you know what, my daughter is going to have to watch this play out. God, why? What's your purpose? What is this? And so I encourage you, always ask God what he wants in a situation. Don't assume. I have Christian friends that are like, keep praying for her healing. Keep praying for her healing. It's not what God has asked me to do. It's not what he placed her in our lives and us in theirs. So I'm just asking that you all continue to pray for these conversations, and that we see the salvation as soon as possible. And from there, thank you. I'm sorry.
Nope. I'm going to, thanks, Peyton. Good job, Peyton. Yeah. This girl's a lesbian. And they have befriended, Mark and Carmen have befriended many lesbian and transgender individuals in this town. And we are called to share the gospel with them in love. And just, just so you know, you may be hearing more about that because they need Jesus. And we need to be intentional. Have to be intentional. Jesus was. And so be praying for them as they minister to her in the last days of her life. That she might come to know Jesus. And in the very end, find rest under his wings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and we want to thank you for brokenness. May we recognize the victory that you have called us to. And that victory is designed to be shared by speaking truth in love. Nobody is exempt from receiving your grace, no matter what they have done in their life. Sometimes I think we put ourselves in as judge and jury, and we have no right. For only you are righteous. And it's only through you that through your righteousness we are made whole. But we are broken whole. Can't explain it, but it's pretty evident as we look at ourselves. So may we as a church, as a body of believers, just call it what it is and love people. Thank you so much for the story behind the music and song. May we give you praise and honor and glory for all that you allow us to experience. The troubled times and the victories. May we have the mind of Christ and see things for what they are. May we see people the way you see people. And may we see ourselves the way you see us. Thank you for allowing us be part of your kingdom. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.